All right, we're good to go. Thank you so much and good morning. I call this meeting to order. All the representatives of the commission are present. I'm Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis, and joining us today is State Controller Malia Cohen. And we are also joined by Michelle Perot, representing the Department of Finance. Dr. Dumlow?
Madam Chair, we have a quorum present. In addition, I would like to identify the members of the staff of the commission participating for this hybrid meeting. We have Speaker Coordinator Katie Robinson Phillip and Meeting Liaison Kim Lunetta participating virtually.
Thank you so much. For the benefit of those in the audience, the State Lands Commission manages state property interests in over 5 million acres of land, including mineral interests. The Commission also has responsibility for the prevention of oil spills at marine oil terminals and offshore oil platforms and islands, and for preventing the introduction of marine invasive species into California's marine waters. Today, we will hear requests and presentations involving the lands and resources within the Commission's jurisdiction. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge and express our gratitude to the Ramaytush and Ohlone peoples who have inhabited the lands on which this meeting is being held and who have fished these bay and coastal waters for countless generations. I also want to take a moment to honor the California Native American communities all across the state for persisting, carrying on diverse cultural and linguistic traditions, and sustainably managing the land we now share. Native people have maintained a constant presence on the landscape for many thousands of years, and they are essential stewardship partners, whether along the coast, along our rivers and valleys, or in our fragile deserts. We thank California Native American communities for participating in this commission's activities and for their essential role in maintaining and adding to our state's rich cultural legacy. Now, I want to turn it over to Dr. Dumlow to share some instructions on how to best participate in this meeting so that it runs as smoothly as possible.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome to everyone in the public who is participating today. We will have one public comment session, which will be toward the end of the meeting. If you would like to speak during our open public comment period or during a public comment period that is part of an agenda item, please complete an electronic request to speak form available on our homepage. And the AGP folks, the audiovisual guys, will put that up on our screen momentarily. We will take those members of the public who are here in person first, and then hear comments from those members of the public who are participating virtually. We will call on you in the order in which you submitted the electronic request to speak form. For those participating virtually, please make sure you have your microphones or phones muted to avoid background noise. To help us call on you through Zoom, please raise your hand during the appropriate comment section one of two ways. First, if you are attending on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand in Zoom. If you are new to Zoom and you joined our meeting using the Zoom application, click on the hand icon at the bottom of your screen. When you click on that hand, it will raise your hand. Second, if you are joining our meeting via phone, you must press *9, not pound or hashtag, but star, on your keypad to raise your hand to make a comment. If you are calling in and want to view the meeting, including the PowerPoint presentations, please view the meeting through the CalSPAN live webcast link. There will be a slight time delay, but it will avoid an echo or feedback from using the Zoom application and your phone. We will call on individuals who have raised their hands in the order that they are raised using the name they registered with or the last three digits of their identifying phone number. You may receive a pop-up indicating you are being promoted to panelist. Please be sure to accept the invitation. After you are called on, you will be unmuted so that you can share your comments. Please also remember to unmute your computer or phone and identify yourself. Remember, you have a limit of 3 minutes to speak on an item, which may be adjusted as needed to ensure all speakers have a chance to speak. Please keep your comments respectful and focused. We will mute anyone who fails to follow those guidelines or, at worst, dismiss them from the meeting. If anyone is having logistical or technical difficulties, please don't hesitate to reach out to slc.helpdesk@slc.ca.gov. The Commission has also established an email address to compile public comments for our meetings. The address is cslc.commissionmeetings@slc.ca.gov. I have received various emails from parties that have been shared with all the commissioners prior to the meeting. If we receive any emails during the meeting, they will be shared with the commissioners and be made available on our website, www.slc.ca.gov, along with the public comment emails we have already received. Hope that that is clear for everyone. Chair Kunalakis, that concludes my hybrid meeting instructions. We are ready to move on to the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you so much. The next item of business will be the adoption of the minutes from the Commission's meeting of August 21st, 2025. May I have a motion to approve the minutes and a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Cohen and a second by Commissioner Peralt. Any objections to a unanimous vote? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Dr. Dumlau, what is the next order of business?
Yes, Madam Chair. So we had some conversations, and it was clear that there was an interest in doing closed session earlier in our agenda. So we were making a slight modification to our program this morning. We are going to adjourn into closed session, and then when we reconvene, we will take up the agenda in open session as it's listed. So I have a few things to read off before we adjourn. Government Code Section 11126, Subdivision C7, allows a state body to discuss real property negotiations in closed session, provided that before the closed session, the state's body in open session identifies the real property concerned and the person or persons with whom the negotiator may negotiate. In accordance with this requirement, I announce that the Commission will conference in closed session with its real property negotiators regarding the following item. Informational item 63 addresses four applications for assignment of leases governing the use of existing offshore oil and gas pipelines traversing state waters associated with the Santa Ynez unit in federal waters, including the Elwood Pier, the two mooring buoys offshore Santa Barbara County. Negotiating parties, State Lands Commission, ExxonMobil, Pacific Offshore Pipeline Company, and Sable Offshore Corporation. Under negotiation, price and terms. And the lease numbers are PRC 4977, PRC 5515, PRC 6371, and PRC 7163.
Okay, so we are going to go into closed session, but for those who are here and those who are watching virtually, let me just say, unfortunately, our last meeting was canceled at the last moment because of weather and travel challenges for members of the Commission who were not, as a result, able to get to Oxnard in time. So I just want, for those who are watching, to apologize for that and to also let you know that while we are going into closed session now, there will be time both for public comment on each of the items on the agenda and public comment for items not on the agenda when we return. So we will recess into closed session. Call this meeting back to order. Dr. Dumlau, is there anything to report out from closed session?
Yes, Madam Chair. Pursuant to Government Code Section 11126, Subdivision C7, the Commission met in closed session regarding applications for the assignment of four leases governing the use of existing offshore oil and gas pipelines traversing state waters associated with the Santa Ynez unit in federal waters, the Elwood Pier, and two mooring buoys offshore Santa Barbara. And I'll turn to Chief Counsel Blackman for updates.
Thank you, Dr. Dumlau. Additionally, the Commission considered a settlement offer pertaining to the natural resources damage assessment claim following the 2021 oil spill in Huntington Beach by Amplify, designated as P000547, and the Commission voted to reject the settlement offer proposed by Amplify. Thank you. That is all.
Okay. I took a bite of Grace's cookie. I thought that was going to go for an extra second or two. All right, the next order of business will be the adoption of the consent calendar, items 1 through 60. Commissioners, are there any items that you would like removed from the consent calendar? Dr. Dumlau, are there any items which have been removed from the consent calendar?
Yes, Madam Chair. Consent item 57 has been removed from the consent agenda and will be heard during the regular calendar.
May I have a motion to adopt the consent agenda and a second?
So moved.
We have a motion from Commissioner Cohen and a second from Commissioner Perot. Any objections to a unanimous vote? Okay. Therefore, the motion passes unanimously. Next order of business will be the regular calendar. Item 61 is a presentation by staff to consider amendment of lease 4196 for the Ormond Beach Generating Plant near Oxnard and Ventura County. Ben Johnson will give the staff presentation, but before we have that, I just want to note we have quite a few people signed up. This has come back to us now multiple times, so I'm going to limit public comment to 1 minute. Appreciate everyone's patience and that it took us a little while this morning to get to this item. Go ahead.
I'll wait for the slide presentation, but I'll start with my introductions. Hello, commissioners and madam. My name is Ben Johnson. I'm a staff attorney for the commission. And I am here to present on item 61, consideration of a lease amendment for offshore conduits used by Ormond Beach Generating Station, or OBGS for short. The existing lease expired on April 23rd, 2025, and the lease is currently in holdover. The lessee, Ormond Beach Power LLC, applied for an amendment to extend the lease until December 31st, 2026, to coincide with its contract with the California Department of Water Resources to provide emergency power for California's Strategic Reliability Reserve. So staff presented this item at the April 2nd Commission meeting in Oxnard. This presentation will supplement the previous one and the staff report to address questions raised by the commissioners at that meeting and provide relevant updates. Next slide, please. So this is I had a slide of background information. In the interest of time, I can skip this unless you'd like a refresher on the background. Okay. Was that skip it?
Okay. How many minutes are we talking about?
Save like 3 or 4 minutes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let's go back one, please. All right. So the OBGS is a natural gas-fired steam electric generating facility built in 1968. The power plant consists of two conventional steam turbine units and provides power to the Southern California region. The cooling system for OBGS uses a once-through cooling system where seawater is drawn in and discharged through two conduits extending into the Pacific Ocean. These conduits are the structures under lease with the commission. Next slide, please. In June 2022, through passage of AB 205, the state created the Strategic Reliability Reserve to bolster energy system reliability while the state procures and deploys clean energy resources. The Strategic Reliability Reserve authorized the Department of Water Resources, or DWR, to contract with and extend the operations of power plants scheduled for retirement to provide the state with emergency power reserves. As part of this program, DWR contracted with OBGS to operate as an emergency plant from December 31st, 2023 to December 31st, 2026. DWR's contract requires OBGS to operate only if all other power sources are unable to meet emergency demands. The California Independent System Operator, or CAISO, an independent entity, determines whether OBGS should be activated to provide emergency power by reviewing energy demands and grid reliability. Plants in the Strategic Reliability Reserve are turned off until notified by CAISO of the need for emergency power. The result is that OBGS is now rarely used. In 2024, OBGS was turned on 3 times for a few days, and so far in 2025, OBGS has not been brought online to provide emergency power. Next slide, please. At the April 2nd, 2025 meeting, commissioners asked for additional information on funding related to third-party contracts that might be impacted by a lease amendment denial and termination of holdover. These agreements include a demolition agreement between the City of Oxnard and Genon, which is our lessee's parent company, a park fund agreement between the City and Genon, and the emergency power contract between DWR and Ormond Beach Power LLC, who is our lessee. It is important to note that the Commission is not a party to any of these agreements and so we cannot conclusively interpret them or enforce them. That can only be done by the parties themselves. Staff reached out to these parties for their positions on the impact of their contracts. I will provide a short summary here, and representatives from the City of Oxnard and Genon are available today for questions. The demolition agreement between the City of Oxnard and Genon requires Genon to demolish the OBGS and to deposit $25 million to fund decommissioning and demolition at the OBGS site. It was entered into in connection with OBGS operation extensions through 2023. A lease amendment denial would not impact that fund. The City and Genon's public access park agreement was entered into in connection with OBGS operation extensions from 2024 through December 31st, 2026. Under that agreement, Genon would pay up to $10 million into the City's park fund for OBGS operations through 2026. If the lease amendment is denied and the lease is terminated, resulting in non-operation through 2026, both parties indicate that at least $5 million of the public park funding could be lost. Finally, Ormond Beach Power LLC, the Commission's lessee, has a contract with the DWR to provide emergency power from OBGS through December 31st, 2026. If the Commission denies the lease amendment extension and terminates the lease, OBGS could not operate and Ormond Beach Power LLC would not be able to meet its obligations under this agreement. Next slide, please. Regarding the Commission's proposed lease amendment, Genon would be required to provide a $13.4 million parent guarantee, which would increase the total securities under the lease to $14.4 million. This would protect the state against costs to decommission the offshore conduits if its lessee does not do so. If the lease amendment is not authorized, the Commission will only have the $1 million surety bond required under the current lease, and the state would not be adequately protected against the costs of removal should the lessee not fulfill its contractual obligations. Next slide, please. Since the April 2nd meeting, Genon and staff negotiated a contribution by Genon of $500,000.
Ben, I just want to interrupt, sorry. That number is actually going to be now $1.5 million.
So of $1.5 million to fund projects that provide greater information about localized air pollution burdens in Oxnard. These burdens have been identified by various commenters over the past few months. Staff anticipates using the contribution to fund projects like an air monitoring project that was just started by the local air quality management district, but whose funding was cut by the federal government. This information from the air monitoring could be used to better identify and quantify pollution sources and inform future advocacy and air quality projects. I would also like to take this opportunity on behalf of Commission staff, and particularly on behalf of Matt, Grace, Jessica, Seth, and Raquel, and Kelly, to extend our sincere appreciation to cause staff and to youth leaders for their continued engagement. Since the April 2nd Commission meeting, several productive discussions have taken place. Their steadfast commitment to centering community voices in all aspects of their work is both admirable and deeply appreciated. Staff is committed to working with cause and other local groups in the coming years as the Commission considers future leases in the Oxnard area, including OBGS decommissioning. Next slide, please. Staff recommends the Commission authorize the amendment of lease number 4196, a general lease industrial use, to extend the lease term to December 31st, 2026, increase the bond or other security to $14.4 million, and to require the lessee to submit a lease application by December 31st, 2025 for the decommissioning, removal, or non-operation of all existing offshore improvements related to the Ormond Beach Generating Station. Next slide, please. So we do have a correction to this slide. Staff also recommends authorizing a delegation to staff to finalize negotiation and to execute the contribution agreement with Genon and to authorize acceptance of a donation of $1.5 million. Next slide, please. Thank you. Staff and representatives of the lessee and GenOn are available to answer questions. Additionally, representatives from the city, the California Energy Commission, the California Public Utilities Commission, and the California Independent Systems Operator, I believe, are all online and standing by and available for questions. This concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you very much for the excellent presentation, a reminder of this complicated and extremely important issue. Katie, do we have, we'll start with public comment before I turn to commissioners. Katie, do we have the first person signed up to address the commission on this item?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For our first public speaker, we have Dr. Alex Menetanoa.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Today I'm speaking as an environmental justice advocate with CAUSE and Resident Oxnard. We want to thank you for looking out for our residents and acknowledging us. And again, we just want to reaffirm our points of demanding that you reject the lease and involve community in the destruction of the plant by the deconstruction of the plant by the end of 2026. I want to talk a little bit about fiscal responsibility. One thing that hasn't been brought up before is some of the history of GenOn. OBGS was bought by GenOn in 1998. At that time, they were known as Reliant Energy. When they bought it, they wasted no time in the gaining the deregulated energy market, joining Enron and others to cause economic disaster. They were later forced to pay fines and settlements of over $524 million. Reliant was then bought out by NRG Energy and several purchases from 2009 to 2012, reconsolidating Reliant under a new brand. GenOn, as a subsidiary, later filed bankruptcy in 2017, splitting from NRG and reforming Reliant Energy in all but name. So as we move forward, we have to ask, does the state want to continue paying $13 million a month to a company that caused one of the largest economic crises in California? Does the commission want to trust the word of a company that has to use bankruptcy and opaque corporate restructuring to make amends for crimes and poor money decisions? A company that was happy to pollute our air, deny residents coastal access, and only offered community benefits when their bottom line was under threat. Now, does GenOn, with their history, deserve to make over $150 million a year of state money while we're in a deficit to keep a plant idle? You know the answer. Reject the lease.
Katie, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Odette Moran.
Hi, good morning. My name is Odette Moran, and I'm a youth and young adult community organizer with CAUSE and longtime Oxford resident. I want to start by thanking the State Lands Commission and staff for your professionalism, listening to our communities for this past year, and for making multiple efforts to hold the decision-making meeting here in Oxnard. Although we did not end up having the meeting here in Oxnard due to external factors, we really appreciate your efforts and also call for your process and meetings to be more people-centered. That way our community has better accessibility and, you know, like our time is impacted too. I am here to ask you to please prioritize Oxnard Lives today. As many of our young leaders have named, Oxnard is ready to see the Ormond Beach Generating Station retire and be cleaned up. We cannot trust industry to keep their promise and lean on you to create systems that are community-centered, as your EJ policy states. And I think today in your presentation, you demonstrated some of that and hope to continue to see a commitment to EJ policies and to do better for people. GenOn is an industry that has rebranded and restructured multiple times to avoid their criminal history, and yet got $2.2 billion for their last extension in 2022. And to this day, keep getting around $13 million a month just to be on standby. In our Regenerate Coalition's report from 2022 and in a study, we learned that OBGS has one of the highest curtailment rates, which means that it stops producing electricity whenever needed most and pollutes 13 times more than it should. It was actually the people, by not turning on their ACs and meeting that energy need, that actually helped our during that last 2022 heat wave. And, you know, Californians actually responded during that time by meeting 2,600 megawatts within 45 minutes. And OBGS takes about 1,600 megawatts just to turn on. It is a waste of money to invest in an obsolete industry. It is time to invest the state's money
in our
lives.
If you could wrap it up.
Yes, of course. Please let's invest on cleaning up, dismantling, and for training and jobs for OBGS workers. This needs to be a transition for the future for both our community members and the workers at OBGS. Thank you for your time and reject the lease.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Kimberly Ramos.
Sorry, one second. Good morning, commissioners and staff. My name is Kimberly Ramos, and I am a proud resident of Oxnard and an organizer with CAUSE. I'm here to demand that OBGS is decommissioned by December 31st, 2026, and ensure there's funding and community oversight for cleanup. Our community deserves justice. The State Lands Commission has the power to date to move forward with the existing plans that hold GenOn accountable for the decommissioning and engaging community in the dismantling process for the conduits. Guaranteeing OBGS does not get a lease extension honors the commission's commitment to being a leader in fighting climate change. We need bold leaders who will stand against polluting industries who are profit-driven and take advantage of marginalized communities. The State Lands Commission has an environmental justice policy that recognizes the urgency of addressing environmental injustice, especially as impacts of climate change unfairly affect disadvantaged communities like Oxnard. We live in a toxic soup of industries where selfish, profit-driven industries have taken advantage of our community. SLC has the power to hold industry accountable and stand with Oxnard. Do right by our community and reject the lease. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for consolidating your comments to 60 seconds. Next speaker, please, Katie.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Haley Ehlers.
Hi, my name is Haley Ehlers with Climate First Replacing Oil and Gas, or CFROG. We urge the commission to reject the amendment of lease 4196 and prioritize decommissioning OBGS. We have been working with dozens of South Oxnard community members and residents on an air monitoring project over the last year. While they are deeply concerned about air pollution, an equally significant concern of the community is lack of clear, accessible information. They want to know what decisions are being made, where, and by who, and they want to be a part of them. There have been multiple meetings and hearings turned to town hall on this issue. There have been last minute changes, as illustrated today during the staff presentation, and broken commitments by GenOn. We deserve a more accessible, consistent, and authentic process, one that isn't driven by industry desires, but a coordinated effort across state agencies to ensure OBGS is decommissioned by the end of next year. And State Lands Commission can be a great leader in that. We urge you to do that. Thank you.
Katie, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Joan Tharp, followed by Jocelyn Lucas.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please proceed.
Thank you. My name is Joan Tharp, and I'm representing Surf Rider Ventura County. I'm here yet again to urge the commission to reject the amendment of lease 4196 to extend the lease term for the intake and discharge conduits and stop the continued use of once-through cooling systems at the Ormond Beach Generating Station. This outdated and environmentally destructive technology has long imposed unacceptable harm on our marine ecosystems and local water resources. The fact that the power plant only has been used a nominal number of times in 2 years at great expense tells me that there is no emergency, and the lease extension provides a foot in the door to ask for continued extensions. I urge you to enforce the state's once-through cooling policy and deny any extensions or permits that would allow this facility to continue to operating with the OTC technology. Instead, the focus should be on decommissioning outdated infrastructure and supporting renewable energy projects that align with California's climate and environmental justice commitments. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Yes, our next speaker is Jocelyn Lucas, followed by Jocelyn Gomez.
My name is Jocelyn Lucas. I'm a student at UC Santa Barbara and a leader with CAUSE. But more importantly, I'm from a community that has lived in the shadow of OBGS my whole life. When it was time to clean up the Mandalay Bay power plant, Genon filed bankruptcy and sold the plant, leaving the plant standing. And now they want more time here, more money, and more trust. But how can we trust a company that's proven over and over that our pain is just a cost of doing business? California poured billions into keeping plants like OBGS running, yet Genon still collects millions every month just to sit idle. And even during California's record-breaking heat wave, this plant failed us. It couldn't even do what it was supposed to. The state spent millions to extend the life of these fossil fuels, calling it an emergency, but that's not protecting people, that's protecting profits. This isn't caution, it's keeping injustice alive. Please reject the lease and keep people as a priority. Our community has carried this burden long enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Katie.
Our next speaker is Jocelyn Gomez, followed by Sandy Hernandez.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. My name is Jocelyn Gomez, and I'm a student at UCLA. I've lived in Oxnard my whole life, and I've worked with CAUSE for the past 3 years to decommission the OBGS. I'm here to ask you to make sure the OBGS is decommissioned by December 31st of 2026 and ensure that there is enough funding to clean up. We cannot trust industry. Genon has made the attempt to break their agreement to provide us $1.5 million for a community-led project. They care more about profiting in Oxnard than they do keeping their word. In 2017, Genon declared bankruptcy and split from their parent company. This bankruptcy coincided with the shutdown of the Mandalay Bay power plant in Oxnard, conveniently letting them off the hook from the deconstruction of the plant. Then they sold the plant in 2022, leaving the plant standing and continuing to be a problem for the city. Guaranteeing the OBGS does not get a lease extension honors the commission's commitment to being a leader in fighting climate change. We want to ensure that you are actually keeping your environmental justice policy and not just using it as a vanity project. We need bold leaders who will stand against polluting industries who are profit-driven and take advantage of marginalized communities. Amending this lease will give Genon more time to scheme their way into an unneeded extension. The answer is clear that you need to reject this lease amendment.
We can hear from others. Thank you.
Thank you. Please make sure to do right by our community.
Our next speaker is Sandy Hernandez, followed by Sig Tanners. Sig, if you're online, please raise your hand so we can identify you.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Please proceed.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Sandy Hernandez. I'm a student at OC. I live in Oxnard, and I'm a leader with CAUSE. I am here to ask you to ensure OBGS is decommissioned by December 31, 2026, and ensure there is funding for cleanup. Our community cannot trust industry. Genon Bro tried to break.
Sandy, I believe we've lost audio. I believe we'll have to move on to the next person.
Without worrying about industries coming in to monopolize our community. We don't want to be bribed or bought out. We want to be heard, not to be swayed by pretty gifts. You have the power to hear us and take action. What Genon is offering is bribery. Our community has asked to be heard and decommissioned this power plant for years. Trying to coordinate a deal that extends the power plant goes against everything we fought for. Genon is still a corporation. Our community is not their priority. I want to continue being a part of this even after you make your decision. I want our community to be prioritized and involved. This includes the people working at the power plant. I hope they receive proper training to be offered a new job. Thank you for please make sure to do right by our community. We want to continue to be a part of this process and see OBGS decommissioned and dismantled.
Our next speaker is Sig Tanner, followed by Fatima Argadano. We will be skipping SIG and moving off on to Fatima.
Next speaker, please.
While we wait for Fatima, we will move off to Dwayne.
Hello?
Here we go. Thank you.
Sorry. Let me start. Good morning. Can you hear me right?
Yes, we can. Please proceed.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Fatima Gredano. I've been working with CAWS since last year to fight for the shutdown of the Ormond Beach power plant. I'm a proud Oxford resident and community advocate and young adult leader who refuses to stay silent while profit is put ahead of people. For too long, this plant has been a symbol of environmental racism, built on a community ignored and polluted for decades. Now there's talks of other projects being put forward, and let me be clear. We don't want any new projects or extensions or dirty money disguised as green energy. Recently, the city of Oxnard has been negotiating with GenOn, the very corporation responsible for harming our community. This isn't a collaboration, it's a compromise at the expense of justice. We want full and final decommissioning, no more delays, no more excuses. And as Vandala Shiva says, the planet desperately needs more peacemakers, healers, restorers, and peace and storytellers and lovers of all kinds. That's what we can all be, fighting to protect our home. The Ormond Beach power plant must fully close permanently without replacement by another exploitative project. We need accountability,
thank you for your
inspiration,
comment.
And justice. Thank you.
If you can wrap up, please. Thank you. Our next speaker is Dwayne Zuniga, followed by Jen Hernandez.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Please proceed with your comments.
Mm-hmm. Hello, good afternoon. My name is Dan Sunyuga. I'm a proud resident of the beautiful South Oxnard. For decades, South Oxnard has been treated as a dumping ground for polluting industries, all concentrated in our backyards, as if our lungs, our lives, and our futures are disposable. This is environmental racism, plain and simple, and it would never be allowed in wealthier, whiter communities. The state promised us that the Ormond Beach Generating Station would be shut down in 2020. Then you told us 2023. Now we're talking about 2026. How many more years do you expect our community to hold our breaths? How many more asthma attacks, respiratory illnesses, missed days of school and work will it take for you to do the right thing? The Ormond Beach Generating Station doesn't even run reliably. It spills 13 times more pollution than it should, all while failing to produce the power during peak demand. We saw this in 2020 during the heat wave. So why are we still sacrificing my community for a facility that can't even do its job? We have done our part. We have written our letters. We have gathered petitions. We have packed your meetings, even though they've been out of Oxnard, and still the polluters walk away with billion-dollar contracts while we are gasping for air. The Ormond Beach Generating Station can't operate without this extension. You have the power to shut it down, so use it. Do not abandon Oxnard. Reject the lease amendment 4196. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Our next speaker is Jen Hernandez, followed by Lucia Marquez.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Good afternoon. My name is Jen Hernandez. I'm Associate Policy Director at CAWS, and I was raised in Oxnard. As you know, CAWS has been fighting for accountability from polluting industries on our coast for over a decade. We envision South Oxnard as a place where there will one day be clean air and coastal access for all. You've heard folks refer to the toxic soup that exists here. This bad recipe is not an unfortunate mistake. It's calculated and intentional, concocted by industry leaders who see Oxnard as nothing but a place to extract wealth from. As you've heard, one of the worst contributors to this soup is GenOn. We can't thank staff and commissioners enough for your commitment to trying to secure some benefit to Oxnard in the wake of GenOn's toxic legacy, but their initial attempts to make community benefits contingent upon another extension shows their true colors. GenOn does not care about Oxnard. OBGS is obsolete. It's what we've heard from state agencies. It's what's apparent in the state budget. This rotting fossil fuel industry has no more place in Oxnard. We urge the State Lands Commission to set a precedent and reject the lease amendment with GenOn. Let's make it easy. Let's stop making it easy for them to continue to hold our community hostage to their greed. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Lucia. followed by Josiah.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Lucia Marquez. I'm with CAUSE. I want to start by thanking your staff for their consistent communication and transparency. It's been real work. It takes a lot of work to prepare proposals, engage the public, and it takes significant community resources for us to educate residents to support them to show up to meetings like this. That's why GenOn's behavior throughout this process has been shameful. Their consistent maneuvering to gain leverage for another extension has disrespected your staff's time, this commission's time, and our community's time. GenOn is trying to hold Oxnard hostage for their own benefit after decades of pollution, barriers to coastal access, and broken commitments. While GenOn continues to rake in millions of dollars a month just to be on standby, the state is facing a severe budget crisis. We cannot afford to keep padding GenOn's profits, and we certainly cannot afford to give them permission to continue operations. Amending this lease gives GenOn exactly what they want, positioned to come back again and again for another extension. You have the power to end this cycle of greed today. A pathway for decommissioning happens and is already planned without an amendment of this lease. We encourage you to reject. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Josiah, followed by Julia Duell.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please proceed.
Right. Hello, my name is Josiah Sorzano. For the past year, many youth and young adults of the Oxford community have mobilized to every commission meeting sharing their vision for a safe coastal access to Ormond Beach by securing a timely decommissioning and dismantling of OBGS. I'm here today to support the call to reject lease 4196 for ocean water conduits to ensure the Ormond Beach Power Plant does not receive a third extension from other agencies, and to call to pass a resolution to oppose GenOn's extended operations beyond 2026. The California State-led Land Commission has committed to advance their vision of a future in which environmental justice communities are no longer disproportionately impacted by pollution. The commission is the board responsible to ensure all Californians can access and enjoy clean and beautiful public lands. So I ask that you, the California State Land Commission, adhere to your environmental justice policy, guaranteeing that Oxnard residents have a say in upcoming conversations and decisions, as they will face the real impacts of your votes. Please heed our call. We depend on you. We rely on you for the safety of our community as well. Please put the people over profit. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Julia Duell, followed by Andy Conley.
Katie?
Hi.
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hello, commissioners. My name is Julia Dowell. I'm a senior campaign organizer with Sierra Club. Sierra Club has been advocating for the shutdown of the Ormond Beach Generating Station for years. We're grateful for the work and commitment of the State Lands Commission to address climate change. And guaranteeing OBGS does not get a lease extension honors the commission's commitment to being a leader in the fight for climate change. We need bold leaders who will stand against polluting industries who are profit-driven and take advantage of marginalized communities. I'm here today to ask you to make sure that OBGS is decommissioned by December 31st, 2026, and to ensure that there is funding and community oversight for cleanup. We do not and cannot trust industry. GenOn broke their agreement to provide $1.5 million to the community, and they care more about profiting in Oxnard over their word to be good community partners. So please, please listen to community today and ensure that this lease is not extended. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Tom DiCioli, followed by Andy Conley.
Katie, do we have the next speaker?
Hello. Yes. Can you hear me?
We can. Please proceed.
Okay. Hi. This is Tom DiCioli, plant manager for GenOn's Ormond Beach. Good afternoon. Again, you've heard facts versus fiction about the plant and how it operates, but also how it wants to preserve and support the community You know, I stated back in October 14th about the plant possessing extremely highly skilled, competent operating team, and the employees are also proud members of our community. You know, we also are proud of the critical role of supporting the electric grid. You know, it's a considered emergency resource, as we know. But even reduced operations, we conduct rigorous routine inspections to ensure it is safe to operate. So again, our employees are neighbors, citizens of this community, the professionals, both union and non. And we have
Thank you. Our next speaker is Andy Conley, followed by Alexander Wynn. Andy, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Andy Conley, and I have the privilege of serving as the president and CEO of the West Ventura County Business Alliance. We are the Chamber of Commerce for Oxnard and Camarillo. We represent hundreds of local employers, entrepreneurs, and organizations who are deeply invested in the future of our region's economy. I am here today to urge the commission to support the lease extension for the Ormond Beach Generation Station, not as an end of itself, but as a bridge to a stronger, more sustainable future for Oxnard and Ventura County as a whole. This is about doing the transition the right way, not rushed or left to chance. If done right, Ormond Beach can be a national model for a successful transition. We've seen what happens when the transitions fail. Mandalay Bay Power Plant is just a few miles away, and is retired without a succession plan. And today it stands as a cautionary tale. We can do better, we should do better. And that is why I'm respectfully urging you to grant the extension. Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Alexander Nguyen, followed by Sam M.
Good afternoon. This is Alex Nguyen, the city manager for Oxnard. Primarily here to answer any questions you may have. I do want to clarify a few points with regard to Genon's commitments to the city. The $25 million fund for demolishing the power plant when the time comes is complete, and it is in the community's possession here. So we have that fund. The public park access fund is in process right now, as you've heard from your staff attorney earlier. And I want to clarify a couple of points with regard to coastal access. The power plant by itself does not create the lack of access to the beachfront at Ormond Beach. So I want to make that clear. It's down there, but in and of itself, it does not prevent public access. In terms of the industrial base in South Oxnard, it is important to treat the facts as they are and to treat Genon and the power plant for what it is within that mix. And it's important to note that the most recent annual report from the local air pollution control district does not even have Genon on the watch list for, certainly not on the high urgency or on the even intermediate priority list. Doesn't even show up on the annual report this right now. So I just want to treat them fairly. They are part of the industrial base, but they are not the primary or even a leading cause of the problems down there. There are a couple dozen other industrial organizations around.
Thank you.
Around.
If we can wrap up your comment, please.
Thank Actually, you. So I'm available for any questions you may have.
The city manager, Katie, is providing some, I think, helpful information for the public to hear. So I'm going to allow him to continue for another minute.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I just want to put it into the context. And as I was saying, there are dozens of others, industrial operators in the area that are on the APCD's list, the Air Pollution Control District's watch list. Genon is not. So I want to be fair to them. And I'm here for any questions you may have later. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Sam M. with the Ventura County Air District.
Good afternoon, Commission. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, thank you for a moment of your time. My name is Sam Mickey. I am an air monitoring program manager with the Ventura County Air Pollution Control District. I would like to say today that we have been a collaborating partner on a community-focused air monitoring project in South Oxnard, specifically for the measurement, continuous and real-time measurement of black carbon, which is oftentimes used as a surrogate for diesel particulate matter, which is a focal air pollutant of concern in South Oxnard due to many confluences of reasons. In the event that the commission approves the lease extension, I would really see an opportunity to continue to fund this project as our EPA resources are set to expire. My main priority is looking for as much on-the-ground air monitoring data in all of our communities across Ventura County. I would be thrilled to see continuation of this type of effort in our community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And before you sign off, I just want to ask staff, is the continuation of the monitoring program that the pollution monitoring that we just heard from, is that what is being considered as part of this agreement?
It is. We are recommending using the $1.5 million that GenOn has put forward to support community-led air pollution monitoring programs. And I think this is a prime example of a program that would benefit from the additional resources from that donation.
And that is already up and running. They are already doing this
Correct.
Monitoring. And Correct. Their results are available to the public as well?
They are. And as my understanding is, the results are relatively limited. They just got the infrastructure in place, so this would allow it to continue and collect data for many years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And support the community outreach and the community intervention on helping to bridge the gap between a bunch of data and what that means in real time.
All right. Katie, how many more speakers do we have?
We just had one final person sign up to speak. Alma Del Aguia.
Please proceed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, my name is Elma Del Aguila, and I'm a lifelong resident of South Oxnard in Port Hueneme. I'm 25 years old, and I'm here to ask that the Ormond Beach Generating Station is decommissioned by December 31st of 2026, reject the lease, and ensure that there is funding for cleanup, making that the priority. My whole life, I've lived less than 3.5 miles from Ormond Beach, and yet my entire life, I've been going to beaches in other cities because they're cleaner, not just the beach, but the water. At the end of the day, we can't trust this polluting industry time and time again, as they've shown that they care more about profit than the people that they're profiting off of. Our community recognizes that the process to decommission includes many agencies, but right now you are the ones holding that decision-making power. At the end of the day, we want to prioritize a healthy economy here in South Oxnard, in Port Hueneme. But the reality is, you can't establish a healthy economy if you don't have healthy land, a healthy home, and healthy people. So please reject the lease and decommission.
Katie, are there any other speakers?
There are no other speakers signed up at this time.
Okay, we have gone much farther than we anticipated, and so unfortunately the controller is going to have to go. So I'm going to give some comments that I think will probably help to sum up where the commission is on this, and I really want to start with the fact that it has taken us about 7 months to get here. And that is largely because of a desire of the members of this commission to be thoughtful, to be responsive to the voices in the community. I want to recognize cause for your organizing work on the ground and bringing your voices forward, particularly the students who have been very actively involved in this. And I think it's been a great education and understanding of how government works and how these complicated decisions get made. But I also want to recognize particularly from the comments just now, those from the representative from the Sierra Club. Because whereas I still feel that some of the comments that we heard from CAUSE did not entirely help the public fully understand the decision before us, I do feel that the comments from the Sierra Club did, because they were consistent with, I can say, how I see this, which is a question of a responsible transition to the decommissioning of this plant. And there are a couple things in that vein that I want to stress. One of them is that this commission does not have jurisdiction over the preponderance of the power plant itself. Our jurisdiction is over the conduits that are physically located within our jurisdiction, which is on this very narrow area where our commission generally has authority, between the land and the sea. And so GenOn has a multitude of permits to continue operation through the end of next year. And what was brought to us was an agreement that the conduits be able to be, the lease be extended just to be consistent with all those other leases that have already been put in place. And so when I think about a responsible way forward, I have to start by thinking of this in the context of all the other government agencies that have already weighed in and will continue to weigh in. But to the point of, I think, what we've heard from the public, this is about a transition to decommissioning. And what we have seen over the course of the last few years is a significant reduction in the use of this power plant. Last year, this power plant did not go online a single time. And I want to commend Governor Newsom for the ramping up of battery storage, which helped to make sure that plants like these that tend to be older are not necessarily needed because of the use of battery storage that evens out the delivery of energy during peak periods. And so that gets us to where we are today and the lease terms that are on the table. GenOn has agreed to increase its bonding, as we heard from the staff presentation, from $1 million to $14.4 million. What that means is that we are guaranteed that when it comes to the decommissioning, which there is another pot of money that the city has, we heard from the city manager of Oxnard, for the decommissioning of the power plant itself, but that just for the conduits that are within our jurisdiction, GenOn is putting a bond in place for $14.4 million, and our staff believes that will be adequate for covering that part of decommissioning if it needs to be drawn down on. Of course, there are other obligations GenOn has, but it's an insurance that no matter what, the funds will be there to do our part of the decommissioning. To me, that is a significant, significant agreement, which is part of our responsibility for a decommissioning that is in the public interest. And then the second piece of it is something that came about, frankly, not as part of this members of this commission being at the table, but rather between GenOn and the greater community and staff, which was a voluntary offer by GenOn, who recognized that there are many other contributing factors toward pollution in Oxnard. And again, we heard from the city manager that this one isn't even in the top 12 as it currently is operated, but that there are other polluting factors. And we heard from one of the organizations that is out there doing monitoring for black carbon. And because GenOn has voluntarily offered this $1.5 million, it appears as though, hearing from staff, that those funds could be put toward the continuation of that monitoring and outreach with the public. I think that is above and beyond in terms of what we think about the scope of the kinds of things that might be part of a lease like this. I think it is very notable. And again, this was offered by the lessee. And to me, that is very significant. And in terms of dollars, may not, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's $1.5 million. But in terms of the effectiveness of it, that it can continue to support monitoring programs, I think that's very significant. So it's taken us 7 months to get here. I think we have clearly upheld the public trust in doing our part, again, our narrow part, to ensure that the pieces are in place for a responsible decommissioning. And I am prepared to support this agreement, but I want to leave it to my fellow Commissioner Perreault for any comments that she may have. Commissioner Perreault?
Yeah, I'll keep my comments brief. I'll just echo what the Lieutenant Governor has indicated. I think, you know, hopefully it's pretty apparent that we have not taken the consideration of what the right steps are in this situation lightly. We have spent a great deal of time trying to understand better what is happening both currently with the plant, what is the plan to decommission it, and in addition, really trying to understand and hear the community's concerns. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we're all trying to get to the same end, which is the full decommissioning of this plant, and having it gone so that that it, even though, again, to the point that we heard today, it may not be the largest contributing factor to what's happening down there, but it is a factor. And so being able to get to that is going to be important. However, I think, and it was stated by one of the earlier speakers, that we want to make sure that the steps we take are the right steps, that we are being very, considering all things and making sure we're not leaving anything behind to make sure that we do get to the end, which is the access for public to be able to walk along their beaches and breathe the air they need to be breathing that's right for them. So I think, again, I don't want to belabor the point, but I do appreciate everybody's patience. I know it's been a long walk along this road together, and appreciate everybody's patience as we try to really grapple with this very important issue and get to an understanding. So, again, you know, I'm glad we're here. I know it's been long and hard, but we're here, and appreciate, again, everybody's patience on it.
The final thing I would just like to say, again, because at one of our previous meetings, we had dozens of high school students come and speak, and I very much hope that you will stay on top of this, and you will have an opportunity to do so with this monitoring program, which will also help you understand all of the contributing factors of pollution down in Oxnard. And that, to me, is extremely important, because this is about the next generation. It is about clean air and clean water for Oxnard. And I'm very, I'm very gratified that as part of this agreement, we will be able to see information being collected, shared with the public, and I hope very deliberately with the students from the high school who were here several hearings ago in particular. So with that, I have a motion.
I'll go ahead and move staff's recommendation. Do I need to do it with an amendment? Yes, so I'll move staff's recommendation with the amendment of a $1.5 contribution for the monitoring from Genon.
I will second the motion, and can we have a roll call vote?
Yes. Commissioner Peralt?
Aye.
Chair Kunalakis?
Aye.
Motion passes 2-0.
Okay. Thank you. Item 62 is an update on state legislation relevant to the California State Lands Commission. There will be no staff presentation or action to be taken for this item, but we will hear public comments. And Sherry Pemberton is virtually available to address anything that might come up from public comment. Katie, do we have any public comment on item 62?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, we do not have any public comment on this item.
Commissioner, any comments or questions? This item is informational, vote, no vote required. Item 63 relates to an assignment of four leases for the use of existing offshore oil and gas pipelines associated with the Santa Ynez unit offshore of Santa Barbara County. There will be no staff presentation or action to be taken for this item, but we will hear public comments if we have any. Katie, do we have any public comments for item 63?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, we do not have any public comment for this item.
Madam Commissioner, any comments or questions? This item is informational, no vote required. The next order of business is the executive officers.
Actually, we have one item that we pulled from consent, item 57.
Yes.
That we will take up now. Great. For item 57, I believe we have staff present to virtually to provide the presentation for item 57.
Jalal?
Yes, I'm waiting for the slides, please.
Thank you.
May we have the presentation loaded? Item 57.
I do not have a presentation for item 57. I have one for item 55, 61, and 13 or 38.
Please hold on, Jalal.
Yeah. One moment.
I'm sorry, you just said I can go ahead and start the presentation with all the slides.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Okay. Thank you very much, Joel.
Sure. Okay, sure. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Commissioners. My name is Jalal Abedi, and I am a petroleum reservoir engineer with the Mineral Resources Management Division of the California State Lands Commission. Today, I am presenting item 57, final report and closing statement for the Long Beach Unit Annual Plan during July 1st, 2024 to June 30th, 2025. The action is to acknowledge receipt of the final report and closing statement for the Long Beach Unit Annual Report for the period of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025. And the purpose is to document the performance and financial outcome of the Long Beach unit for the fiscal year 2024-25. So the city of Long Beach submitted its final report and closing statement for the annual plan covering the period of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025 to the commission as required by Section 10 of Chapter 138, the Statute of 1964. Although commission action on the report is not required under the statute for or various Long Beach unit agreement, the city of Long Beach has requested the commission's concurrence with an acceptance of the report by letter dated September 16, 2025. This report provides the unit actual performance for a full fiscal year of 2024-25. So total expenditure for the Long Beach unit were $204.6 million, which is around $99 million less than the approved budget of $3.8 million for fiscal year 2024-25. And the reduction is mainly attributed to a suspension of development drilling with additional saving from lower operating expense. The net profit for this period was $123.4 million, which is around $83 million greater than the approved plan's net profit estimate, which was $40.3 million. The higher than planned net profit primarily reflects a stronger oil price complemented by reduced expenditure. The average oil and gas rate for this period were, oh, thank you. So if you can please move to slide number 6 now. Okay, that's great. Thank you. The average oil and gas rate for this period were 12,318 barrels per day and 5,499,000 cubic feet per day of the gas. Next slide, please. So this slide or this graph is basically showing the average oil rate over the 4 quarters. So although oil and gas production volume averaged below plan due to the reduced drilling activity and lower injection due to the regulation, this impact is offset by a stronger oil price and cost saving through lower energy spending. So in this graph, the blue color shows the plan and the red color shows the actual dollar oil barrel basically per day. Next slide, please. The approved budget forecast use an oil price of $65 per barrel and a gas price of $3 per MCF. So the actual price averaged $71.67 per barrel and $2.56 per MCF of gas for the fiscal year. So higher oil price increase revenue despite the lower gas prices. Next slide, please. So staff have reviewed the report and recommend that the commission acknowledge receipt of the final report and closing statement for the Long Beach Unit annual plan for fiscal year 2024-2025. Next slide. And that actually ends my presentation. Thank you. And if there's any questions.
Any questions? No questions. This was informational only, no vote required.
We do need a vote.
We do need a vote to accept the report.
We have a couple public speakers.
Very good. Katie, can you please tee up the next speaker?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For our first public commenter, we have Nick Casper, followed by Keith Mason.
Hello. All right. Hello, Lieutenant Governor Kanellakis and members of the commission. This is Nick Caspar. I am speaking on behalf of Councilmember Christina Duggan, who had to run out for a family emergency just a few moments ago. I first want to say our appreciation for the opportunity to speak with Dr. Doomlau and Mr. Blackman a few weeks ago. I really appreciate their time and discussion. And although the annual plans don't include the external harms that the program plans does, we are glad to see the commission recognizes the complex nature of the situation in Long Beach. And we have a nearly 100 years of contracts litigation and court decisions that made our situation unique among all California cities. Well, the laws and agreements are complicated in Long Beach. What's happening on the ground is really simple. We're drilling for oil in Long Beach's granted tidelands for the benefit of the state, turning our local coastal neighborhoods into health hazard zones and keeping only 8.5% of that revenue to be reinvested locally to maintain our coast and offset our costs. The rest of that money, the over 90%, goes to the state under decades-old findings and contracts that assumes that 8.5% was enough for Long Beach to meet the changing needs of our coast. That local money we receive funds sea level rise projects, habitat restoration, beach maintenance, lifeguards, and other trust purposes. These decades-old contracts are now directly limiting our ability to meet the changing needs of the public trust, since these contracts were last considered in the 1960s and 1990s, some before environmental restoration was even considered a trust use. When we talk about mitigation and restoration, the need for money always seems to outweigh the duty of stewardship. The same communities, our communities, who have lived beside the oil operations for nearly a century, should not be the ones paying to clean up the cost. What you have before you today shows that there are resources available. The Long Beach Unit's report for fiscal year 2020.
Thank you, Nick. If you could wrap up your comment, please. We have additional speakers.
Sure, absolutely. This report shows there's $123 million in net profit, $83 million more than expected this year. That tells us the problem isn't lack of funds. It's a lack of will to dedicate these to restoring 100 years of oil drilling. So what we're asking today is for the commission to take an affirmative step to direct staff to come back with the needs assessment for Long Beach's tidelands and explore policy or legislative options that restore the local capacity to meet the trust, our trust duties. The people of Long Beach deserve to be, have been stewards of our coast, and we're looking for that stewardship to be reciprocated. Thank you.
Thank you. And Katie, since we haven't heard this item before, the extra time is okay. We have one more speaker, is that right?
We have two more speakers. We have Keith Mason, followed by Tony D.
All right. Why don't we put 2 minutes on the clock then? Next speaker, please.
Yes. This is Keith Mason. And I apologize. I'm actually on a train, so it might be a little background noise. But I did want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am a resident of Long Beach. I'm going to mirror some of what Nick just already said in terms of my understanding of the trust requirements or their support in terms of navigation, commerce, fisheries, preservation of lands and their natural state, public parks, parkways, and playgrounds. So rather than reviewing a lot of what's gone on, the reality is that the current situation no longer supports the current landscapes. The projects, the navigation, habitat remain underfunded. The money from the tidelands should remain here to clean up wells, restore our shoreland, and replace the revenue that has been long supported lifeguards, piers, and the central coastal. It's my understanding that the commission's goals here is to limit the impact on local communities as we transition to our post-petroleum era. I also understand that the split was written into law by the legislature and is not under your direct control. However, it is something you can influence and lead. I ask the commission that you recognize that more funds are needed to support this trust and to reinvest more in the Long Beach Oil's revenue locally to meet the public support trust needs and take a leadership role by drafting legislation to address the issue for the state legislature. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Katie.
Our next speaker is Tony D. And after that, we have no other hands raised.
Good afternoon. My name is Tony DiGiovanni, president of the Naples Improvement Association, representing over 500 households in the Naples neighborhood of Long Beach. I'm here to ask the commission to take two important steps. First, please direct a public trust needs assessment for Long Beach's tidelands. And second, sponsor legislation that reinvests the oil revenues from Long Beach back into our local coastline. Since 2004, the state has taken nearly $6 billion from oil production in Long Beach. This is based on a 1964 law that said it was unnecessary to dedicate that revenue to Long Beach by itself. This law is out of date. Right now, Long Beach only receives about 8.5% of the revenue generated in our own tidelands. The city faces $300 million shortfall for coastal care and over $1 billion in unfunded infrastructure needs. The Long Beach annual plan that you just heard shows that the field made over $83 million more than expected last year. But we're still told that there's no funding to apply to the commission's own goals of equity and climate resilience in Long Beach. Recent state actions like CalGEM's water injection schedule and Senate Bill 1137 are also speeding up the end of oil production. Right now, Long Beach needs the commission's leadership on this issue. This isn't just about oil. It's about protecting our coastline and supporting the people who live closest to us. Thank you for your time and your commitment to the public trust stewardship.
Thank you. Katie, do we have any other speakers?
There are no other speakers for this item.
Okay. Commissioner Peralt? Okay, I will second the motion.
You mean to do it in with mic on? I'm so sorry. I have no comments, but I will go ahead and move to accept the report.
Perfect.
I will second it.
I will call roll Commissioner Peralt.
Aye.
Commissioner Kunalakis.
Aye.
That motion passes 2-0.
Okay, the next order of business is the Executive Officer's Report. Dr. Doomlam, may we have that report, please?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I want to just begin by acknowledging that this is my first executive officer report in the position of executive officer.
Better be good.
Yeah, no song and dance prepared.
Perot, you did not hear her. She said it better be short.
Yeah.
But no, seriously. It is a notable thing, and I hope that it's one of, the first of many excellent reports, Dr. Dumas. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so I just wanted to acknowledge the incredible welcome I received with the commission staff. They've been nothing short of amazing in this whole process and giving me the background and all of the inner workings of the commission that my predecessor very graciously kept from me all the details and the inner workings, and only brought the decisions that had to be made to the commissioners. So I just really encourage folks to read the executive officer report for a more comprehensive update, but want to acknowledge just a couple things. One, I want to recognize the progress that's been made on Platform Esther, which is one of three remaining platforms. We've actually begun decommissioning Platform Esther. DCOR, the platform operator, has successfully plugged and abandoned 16 wells at this point, maybe more, with plans to complete the remaining wells by the end of the year. And we had an item on consent today that dealt with completing the quick claim of that platform leases, meaning that once all this stuff is completed, we will go from three platforms to two operating in state waters. I also want to acknowledge that one of the commission's actions in previous years was the transfer of lands to the Lone Pine Paiute Shoshone Nation in June 2020, and that continues to be something that has generated a lot of interest among state agencies, tribes, and others, and commission staff was able to participate in a webinar that highlighted the exact nature of that transfer and how it came to be. And so it's something that continues to serve as a powerful example of what is possible when state agencies and tribal governments partner together. And lastly, I just want to acknowledge, how incredible our staff are, and one of the examples of this is just how long they stay with our commission. We have two that are celebrating 25 years of state service, Sean Nelson from our Land Management Division and Christy Schlotsky from the Human Resources Unit. Just tremendous public service for so long, and we are incredibly grateful for their dedication and commitment. And with that, that concludes my executive officer report, and I will turn it back to you, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you very much. And again, I have no idea what in the world that was. Somehow your phone can sometimes bypass the silent mode. All right, I'm just going to power it down. Okay, apologies for that. But I also just want to recognize Grace and all of your leadership and you and Seth and the whole team in making sure the transition has been so smooth. Okay, do we have any comments or questions on the report? Katie, do we have any public comment on the executive officer's report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, we have no public comment on the executive officer's report.
Okay, Dr. Dumlau, next order of business.
Our next order of business is a public comment period.
Okay, if anyone would like to address the commission on any matter that is not on today's agenda, please come up to the podium or raise your Zoom hand. We will call on those who are here in person first. Next, we will move to those joining us virtually. Katie, please call on the first person who would like to make a public comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the first speakers, we have Brady Bradshaw, followed by Sandra. They're in person.
And can I actually ask you, how many people do we have signed up?
We have 19 total.
Okay, I'm going to have to limit it. I'm so sorry to 1 minute each. We did not anticipate the length of this hearing today, and I know Commissioner and I both have other commitments, so I just want people to know in advance to give yourselves time to prepare, and we look forward to hearing public comment. Please proceed.
Hello, thank you, and several people with us won't be commenting, so you'll save some time. Brady Bradshaw here at the Center for Biological Diversity. Thank you, Chair Kunalakis and Commission, for the opportunity to speak. And congratulations to Matt on the new role. Very exciting. I just wanted to speak our support from the Center, speak in support of the proposed, what's now been passed are the lease quit claims and the full decommissioning of Platform Esther. This is really a historic action. And California's offshore oil infrastructure is decrepit and dangerous, but the State Lands Commission has been incredibly vigilant in your oversight of the offshore oil industry, and have accomplished some amazing things to advance the transition to restore our state waters to their natural state and hold the industry accountable to clean up their mess. Today's action will protect coastal ecosystems and communities from future harm by securing an end to production and ensuring a timely cleanup undertaken by the operator and prevent taxpayers from having to foot the bill. Thank you. We support your action and encourage careful oversight of the restoration of the marine habitat. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being here. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Sandra in person, followed by Captain Maggie Hallahan.
They're not here. Not sure about Maggie. Is Maggie here? Please. Oh. Hello, Maggie.
Hi.
Please come to the podium.
Hi. Do you think I could have 2 minutes just because it's a new subject?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
We do really just want to be able to get through everything, and I am supposed to be leaving here in about 8 minutes. So,
okay. I'll do as quick as I can.
I'm so sorry.
Right,
but
in
thank
front of
you,
you have some papers that I submitted, letter. So what I'm asking is for oversight of a public trust, public land trust. And it's in San Francisco Marina, which you guys know really well. And in that document, it states when the trusts were created. This is actually a map from your own California State Lands Commission. And my claim, and we have 7 Sea Scouts that have been working on this for 9 months, and so they couldn't make it, but all their notes are right here. is we'd like you to make sure that San Francisco is doing the oversight that was agreed upon when the lands transferred for their care. And it is our opinion that they're not doing that oversight. They took out several loans, and they should be keeping the money separate in a harbor fund, and that all that documents there, including a letter when Dianne Feinstein was the mayor and wanted to use those funds. So they're supposed to be restricted and separate, and they're not. There's going to be a small cleanup over at Gashouse Cove, which is very small. It's just to the corner of that cove. And PG&E says that they can just do that cleanup with the California Water Board permit to do that without taking out the fuel dock, the lift, and other things that the San Francisco Sea Scouts use. So we have over 100 years of experience there at San Francisco Marina. We've got 180 kids that are year-round and about 450 in the summer, and we want them to have emergency responders because without this fuel dock, gas and diesel, the emergency responders will have to go all the way to Emeryville for fuel, and we don't feel protected and safe. So that's it, pretty much.
Okay.
Happening pretty fast.
Can I just say that sometimes things come up in public comment that I'm actually interested in hearing a little bit more about. So, yeah,
Staff can review it for sure and get
okay.
back to you.
Your office already had referred me over, and we had an hour and a half call this summer.
Oh, you did?
And then I worked with Jeff, who's also on the top of that list, and he is saying that it is time to start doing that overview, and he would like to have the commission start talking about it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Katie, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Percy Bestiani, followed by Marie Liu. And Percy should be in person, it says on our list.
No one is here. No one is here, Katie. So
okay.
why don't we?
Then we can move on to our Zoom.
Yeah.
Marie Liu, followed by Pete Stauffer.
Good afternoon. My name is Marie Liu. I'm with Fearless Advocacy, and I'm here on behalf today on behalf of Oceana. There's been recent news reports indicating that the Trump administration is days away from proposing a plan to auction off federal waters off California for oil and gas drilling, risking more catastrophic oil spills in our state's waters and lands. Oceana opposes any expansion of offshore oil drilling on the California coast. We appreciate that Governor Newsom and California congressional leaders, local elected officials, and Californians have been communicating that they also don't want this expansion. We're here to engage with the commission and ask that you speak up about your opposition to this proposal and request that you direct your staff to analyze existing laws and authorities to determine how the commission can act to protect California from this threat and whether the commission could use additional authority to augment it. Thank you, and we look forward to working with you and your staff on this important issue.
Thank you very much. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Pete Stauffer.
Good afternoon. My name is Pete Stauffer. I'm the National Ocean Protection Manager for Surfrider Foundation, and I'm giving these comments on behalf of Surfrider chapters and members in the state of California. As Oceana just noted in their public comment, recent media reports indicate the Trump administration will imminently propose new offshore oil and gas leasing in the waters off California. This proposal is a major threat to California's communities, economy, and our way of life. Surfrider is strongly opposed to the expansion of offshore oil drilling in the state of California. As noted, Governor Newsom, California congressional leaders, local electeds and others have been communicating the same opposition, and I'm here on behalf of Surfrider members to encourage the commission to speak up about your opposition to this upcoming proposal, and specifically to request that you direct your staff to analyze existing laws and authorities to determine how the commission can act to protect California, including steps to prohibit new oil and gas infrastructure in state waters. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Kitty, next speaker, please.
Thank you. The next set of speakers, there's about 13 speaking on Newport Mooring.
The first one is Hein Austin, followed by George Hilkema.
Can you bring up my picture, please?
We can see you. Please proceed.
Can you bring up my slide, please? Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Hein Austin, and I advocate for a rate ratio of 1:1 in Newport Beach. As you can tell there, there's a public walkway separating the public tidelands from the upland housing properties. Water is water. All the water is being used in the same way, regardless of what's on the water, a boat or a dock. It still is just water. The city is using an alternate linear foot methodology to persuade the staff there that the water under the moorings is worth 64 times more than the water under the docks. 17 cents a square foot for docks, $11 per square foot for moorings. That's a nearly 7,000% difference, and a dock to mooring rate ratio of 1:64. I understand that the commission does not set the rates for the trustees, but I also understand that the commission is obligated to ensure that the rate ratio between identical users do not violate the granting statute that clearly says shall not discriminate in rates, tolls, and charges for any use of the tidelands. And so I respectfully ask that the commission direct the staff to end this decades-long gross socioeconomic injustice by enforcing a statutory dock to mooring rate ratio of 1:1 and not 1:64. And I also recommend that the city merges the docks and moorings as a single recreational user group. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speakers are George and Sheila Hilkema. They're on the same device.
George isn't here. I'm so sorry. George isn't available. This is Chaley, his wife.
Yes, please proceed.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm having a hard time unable to start the video, it says. Can we start the video?
I believe AJP is pulling that up right now.
I'm getting a message from the Zoom that, okay, here we go, start my video. Okay, hello, I'm here.
Is that the video?
Can I start?
Is it the video labeled Bud Cummins?
Okay, I'm ready to start if you are.
Tell her, go ahead.
Yes, we're good. Thank you.
Please start.
Okay, the city of Newport Beach has regulated discrimination against mooring permit holders. It hasn't managed the public tidelands fairly, and its relentless focus on changing policy that negatively affects us makes us feel like unwelcome second-class boaters. The city wants to end mooring transferability again, and it has approved an outrageous 300% to 500% fee increase. I suspect it's trying to move towards some sort of unknown to us future plan for Newport Harbor. Historically, the city's policies have financially burdened those with mooring permits and benefited those with residential pier permits who live in multi-million dollar harborfront homes. They pay less for their docks and nothing for the boats tied to them. Plus, they've been gifted the right to rent their dock space for their private gain. These biased policies have cost the state millions. The city has disregarded the State Lands Commission's fair and equitable benchmark rates. Since we all store our boats on the same public waterway, we should pay the same fees. Mooring permit holders already pay fees higher than the benchmark rates and substantially more than like tidelands users. We hope this commission will do what it can to stop this blatant gentrification maneuver by the city of Newport Beach. Please choose to protect and promote low-cost public access in Newport Harbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Jennifer Creston, followed by Adam Leverins.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Creston, and I appreciate your welcoming me and my fellow mooring stakeholders to this meeting. I have a couple of slides to share with you that illustrate the discrepancy between the mooring permittees and dock slip holders and the transferability of mooring permits in Newport Harbor. The transferability of mooring permits, along with the fact that moorings are self-installed and maintained, is what creates affordability in access. Staff's reasoning regarding their opposition to mooring transfers has changed over the past year and has been a moving target. At first, staff claimed that transferability was wrong because, quote, illegal private profiteering, end quote, was occurring, although no evidence of it was provided. Then the city seemed to convince the staff that mooring transfers are wrong because they may not adequately compensate the Tidelands Fund, but the numbers don't support that either. Next slide, please. Most recently, staff has stated that transferability in and of itself isn't wrong, but the fact that the permits may never revert back to the city is a problem. Seems like simple fixes could be for the city to follow through on its 2022 mooring buyback project and allow mooring holders the same term lengths as other similar users statewide and in the same harbor. Why has there been no discussion or suggestions for how to improve the existing system? Is this more of the city's politically motivated policy changes? Please don't punish mooring holders for exposing appalling rate discrepancies and disparities. Please don't endorse the end of transferability for only the mooring permittees and worsen the existing rate and regulation discrimination. You'd be putting coastal access even further out of reach for a functional and vibrant, mostly lower income and non-Newport resident boating community. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Adam Leverenz, followed by Anne Marie Sinton.
Hello, I also had a couple slides, if you could call those up, please. And I apologize, Mr. Blackman and Dr. Dumlau heard these in Oxnard on the 14th, but others of you haven't. Slides? There we go. Okay, these are various quotations from the State Lands and Coastal Commissions. I'll just quickly go through, given some of the limited time here. Number one, staff observes a significant disparity between the city's residential pier rates and mooring rates. Staff believes it is an opportune time for the city to also reassess its residential pier rates. That's from April of 2024. From August of 2024, staff will comprehensively assess the city's management of its residential pier leases and mooring permits. The goal is to ensure that all user groups are treated equitably. From October of 2024, the review will cover all user categories to ensure equity, addressing both pier leases rates and mooring rates at the same time. We believe this is the best way to guarantee that all rates are fair. You could move to the next slide, please. And there's a number of quotes there. This was in a letter I submitted dated October 10th. In spite of those things, articles in the newspaper indicate the city saying that eventually they were going to do a comparison of residential piers and mooring rates. They're just at the beginning of the process for the piers, and the appraisal is still ongoing. I'm simply asking State Lands to keep your word and do these things simultaneously. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Anne Marie Stinton, followed by Marlene.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Hi there, esteemed commissioners and staff. My name is Anne Stinton. I'm with the Newport Mooring Association. Thank you for hearing us once again today. We really need your help to maintain our coastal access. This commission has both the authority and the responsibility to ensure compliance with the granting statute's clear prohibition on rate discrimination, which you've heard many other mooring holders speak on today. The anti-rate discrimination clause of the granting statutes has been around for a long time, since the early 1900s. And the simple idea is that this group of boaters can't be charged more than that group of boaters for the same thing, storing boats. That's exactly what we're seeing in Newport, though. We're seeing both residential piers and moorings. They're both boat storage, plain and simple. They're the same public trust use on the same public trust lands with the same self-installed and maintained arrangement. We're not asking staff or commissioners to, you know, set the rates. We're simply asking you to enforce the anti-rate discrimination clause in the granting statute. Please do not accept the highly problematic December 2023 appraisal. There are so many issues with it. Please don't condone the end of transferability without looking at all the facts, you know, while still allowing resident peers and yacht clubs and others to remain transferable and enjoy lower rates. It really does feel like it's retaliatory to, you know, change those things just for one user group. I humbly request that you review the NMA comment on Staff Report 66. This was submitted on October, you can't barely see it, there we go, on October 14th, five copies were handed out. Individual copies were also sent via mail to commissioners and alternates, and it's available electronically, along with many other letters and materials that were submitted for public comment from other mooring holders. We ask that you please review those. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Marlene, followed by Bud Kuhlmans.
Hello?
Yes,
can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yes. My name is Marlene Webster, and I submitted a video. If you could please play that video, I'd appreciate it.
Yes. One moment.
Thank you.
My name is Dick Andrews. I'm a veteran, also a riverboard in Newport Harbor's mooring. And all that the city's been doing is.
Marlene, if you could mute on your end so we can hear the video, please.
I'm sorry?
Could you mute on your end so we can hear the video? You have some background.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's not me.
Okay. Okay.
Or don't. They change things on a regular basis. Sometimes they follow the rules. Sometimes I don't even know what the rules are. Please help us.
Thank you. Marlene, the video is over. Back to you.
Video. Okay.
That wasn't my video.
That was labeled as Bud Kuhlmans. What's the name of your video?
Marlene Webster. The video you just showed was not me.
Okay, one moment. It's got two names on it.
My name is...
Give us one moment, Marlene.
Sure. My name is Marlene, and I just want you to know I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to hear our concerns. I'm a 73-year-old grandmother, and I've been living on my boat for 13 years, and I realized early on that I was not going to be able to retire and live off my Social Security. So I came up with this great idea, and I sold my condo and I used that money to purchase my mooring and a beautiful 50-foot motor yacht that I have enjoyed living on for the past 13 years. I have a great community out here. And what the city's trying to do is going to absolutely drive me off my mooring. Excuse me. And at that point, I really don't know what I would do. I don't want to move out of state because I would have to be away from my grandkids. So we appreciate you hearing our concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlene. Katie, next speaker, please.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Bud Kuhlmans, followed by Pat Kuhlmans.
Hi, my name is Bud Kuhlmans. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Honorable commissioners, thank you. Please don't be fooled by the city's argument that residential piers and moorings are somehow different trust uses. Moorings are the same public trust use as residential piers, and they're self-funded, they're self-installed, and self-maintained boat berthing on the exact same water that the residential pier is using. Claiming they are different will perpetuate the existing discrimination. Moorings were developed at the risk and expense of individuals and cost the city nothing. Mooring permits promote access for the less affluent. It's the last bastion of affordable boating storage. They should not be singled out for different treatment. We're asking you to stop the longstanding pattern of rate and regulation discrimination and not condone or endorse changes that will compound it. Please require the city to level the playing field. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Pat Kumans, followed by Jesse Fleming.
Hi. Same. Sharing the computer here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you for giving us this time to be heard again. I understand this may be our last chance before they make a decision coming up soon. My name is Pat Kumans, a retired boat captain living aboard our boat here in Newport. Protecting coastal access for the working class, lower income, and retired people is being threatened. My neighbors are teachers, firemen, city workers, veterans, and retirees. We are in fear of losing our lifestyles, homes to make room for just the wealthy. Newport Harbor is run differently than other harbors. We pay the maintenance on our mooring gear about $1,500 every other year. In exchange, when we are off of it, the city can rent it out at $70 per night at no cost to them. We also pay a monthly fee covering the cost of the use of water, dark, garbage, and tax. We also pay a yearly liveaboard fee. With that, we pass a yearly inspection at their docks with a two-page checklist. All this is fine with us. The 50 permitted liveaboards out of the 800 moorings are an asset to the community. All of us have stories of saving boats, kayakers, stand-up boards, and even a life of myself more than once. Please understand our need to keep the moorings affordable and fair. We are an asset. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Jesse Fleming with a presentation, and then Captain Mike Fleming.
Hi, my name is Jesse Fleming. I have two slides, please.
One moment while we pull those up.
Great. And my video, I think you have to unmute my video. I've been a liveaboard for over 40 years in Newport Beach on the mooring. The city claims that mooring rates are below fair market value. It's an unfound myth. In fact, Newport mooring rates are consistent with comparable water-only permits across all of California and align with most recent independent appraisal conducted by a reputable firm, CBRE. Our rates are already several times higher than the city's own benchmark rate for Orange County tidelands. Permittees currently pay more per square foot than 12 categories of commercial and for-profit tideland permit holders. Second slide. Across the California coast, Newport's mooring permits already pay some of the highest rates anywhere, yet the city now plans to replace our long-term affordable mooring permits with city-owned short-term licenses that could raise costs by as much as 500%. It's not fair. It's not consistent with the city's duty as the trustee of public tidelands. I'm asking you to stop this rate discrimination, protect affordability, and help level the playing field for everyone who depends on access to these public waters. This harbor belongs to the public, and the city's role as trustees is to protect fair and equal access, not to price people out. Please, we're simply asking for fairness, transparency, and stewardship that reflects the public's interest, not profit. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Captain Mike Fleming, followed by Peter Kaz.
Okay. At the risk of beating the dead elephant in the room, state staff says the city's mooring transfer policy may be improper, but the facts don't support that. Permit transferability is a longstanding, lawful practice here in Newport and other California harbors. So why single out mooring holders who already face higher rates and unequal treatment? If changes are needed, they should apply fairly to all permits, not just one. And let's be honest, private pier holders are legally allowed to rent out their piers for $2,000 to $10,000 a month, yet no one calls that improper or profiteering. The city also has a fiduciary duty to treat all tideland permittees fairly. A residential pier pays only for the tied land beneath its dock, not for the multiple boats that are tied to it, while a single mooring for one boat is charged many times more. The city's own records show 800 moorings bring in nearly $2 million a year, while 800 piers serving thousands of boats bring in less than $300,000. It's not fair, equitable, and it's not what public trust was meant to protect. This is everyone's harbor, and fairness on the water should matter to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, next speaker, please.
Our next speaker is Peter Cause, followed by Jim Palmer.
Thank you. I have a slides, please, if you can bring them up.
Yes, bringing them up now.
Thank you. Staff report 66 relies on a flawed appraisal that applies a 30% ratio of slip rates, that is the rate charged by full service marina to mooring permits. The comparison is inappropriate. Mooring holder receive no dock, no land access, no security, utility, or amenities, and they maintain their own equipment at their own expense. Second slide, please. It's simply wrong to charge self-maintained mooring. Second slide, please. Thank you. It's simply wrong to charge self-maintained mooring as if they were discounted marina slips. That model inflates the rate far beyond fair market value and penalizes the very group that provides low-cost access to the harbor. Next slide, please. If the goal is to establish a fair and consistent fair market rental rate, then Newport existing mooring rates already meet that test. They are fully consistent with other self-maintained water-only marina permit throughout the California. Next slide, please. I urge the commission to reject the 30% marina slip ratio and require an appraisal that is accurate, reflects the true nature of the cost of self-maintained mooring. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Katie, next slide, please.
Our next and last speaker is Jim Palmer with presentation.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Jim, we can hear you.
Great. I do have a 1 minute video, but I'll introduce it here for just a moment. There's a lot going on here, and the elephant in the room question really is, will the final report address the appalling disparities or deem them reasonable, both words used by state lands in the past? I respectfully ask the commission to instruct staff and city to include required mediation among stakeholders in the final report and suspend further changes to all tideland permits until this mediation is completed to the satisfaction of this commission. You can please play this, my video, I sure appreciate it.
Yes, bringing it up now.
It's titled Palmer, SLC, there you go, thank you.
The report's findings also include that the city can reasonably rely on its recent mooring appraisal to set rates for its mooring permits, and that there are clear differences in rate revisions for moorings and residential piers, which may violate the grant statutes and the California Constitution.
And I think what's really appalling in this situation is that incredible discrepancy between the pier rates and the mooring rates. And I can also acknowledge that the amount of tidelands that are being utilized by those private recreation or residential piers and the vessels that are attached to those piers is significantly larger than the moorings and the boats associated with those moorings. So there is some real definite inequity going on here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Katie, I hear there are no more speakers, correct?
That's correct.
All right. With that concludes our public comment period. Do any of the commissioners, does the other commissioner have any comments or questions?
No comments. Thank you.
In that case, this concludes the open meeting and we are adjourned.